Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are so fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily lives. And we like to share this with you as a way of easing your life and allowing you to constellate, to work with the stars as they are. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from Minnesota, from the banks of the Mississippi. And I am joined by my two compatriots in New York City. Mark?
Mark Woltz, over on the Hudson River, on the island of Manhattan, and on the other end of the island.
Ann Ortley, and I'm in my bright red desk here on a nice chilly night in New York.
And if you looked out at the moon tonight, right after sunset, you could see the moon and Venus quite close together. They weren't in the same place because they are a different parallel right now, but beautiful, both in Capricorn, and it just a glorious crescent moon with Venus just below that. What you couldn't see is right next to the moon was Pluto. And so we have a lineup of planets in Capricorn, practical, pragmatic, get the job done, Capricorn. And it's kind of hard dealing with all this practical, get the work done energy with the moon in Scorpio now, and with Mercury retrograde in Scorpio. Now, one of the interesting things about this Mercury retrograde, it makes three passes over Saturn, which has in some ways, I have seen it ease the Mercury retrograde in that this, although full of slapstick, has been still quite a practical, competent time. But with Mercury in Scorpio, people wanted to go deep and deep inside themselves, and the Mercury-Saturn conjunction has added to that sense of depth and introspection, and in some people, depression and anger. So we've had three major shootouts since Mercury's been retrograde in Scorpio. But many people are reporting a more competent Mercury retrograde than usual. How have the two of you been feeling it?
Well, I think, there is that sense that people have a grip, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes, especially if you get a Mercury retrograde in not Scorpio, but other signs, it can be a lot looser.
Mm-hmm.
But having it touch Saturn gives it a little bit of a grip. So
mm-hmm.
people are not feeling quite so out to sea with it.
And I think also the having Venus and Mars in Earth signs has been supportive in the process. It slows down the emotional swings. It may make it hard to swing back up again if you go down, but it also adds that grounding note. And Anne, how have you felt it?
I really noticed a lot of people really reevaluating the way they think about things. It's been a lot mm-hmm. of, okay, I've been thinking it should be this way, and I need to change how I think. Or mm-hmm. I thought, you know, and also a lot of people coming up with, well, you know, this happened and this is what it meant, and now I've changed how I'm reacting or thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing a lot of thinking words, people saying, well, I used to think that. I have seen quite a few people who normally aren't depressed,
mm-hmm.
Geminis and Virgos and stuff, who have been a little more depressed with the Mercury retrograde,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or more serious-minded maybe is a better way to mm-hmm. think of it. You know, kind of feeling like they have to be serious, they have to focus, they have to, and I think that's also part of it. And I, you know, I've encouraged people to kind of, you know, not when they say something to someone and people react, kind of say, so how'd you hear me? Because there's a lot of miscommunication on this one,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, what you said in all innocence can backfire on you,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you answered a question. And so there's a lot of reactive energy that's tied to,
mm-hmm.
you know, what did you think I said? You know, I didn't say that. You know,
it's a little hard to sort out.
It is a little hard to say. I mean, I had somebody say to me, you called me ugly, and I'm like, ugly is not a word I use. You know, it's
right,
not,
correct.
You know, I don't call people ugly. And then
Mars in Virgo, you heard ugly.
You heard ugly, yeah. You heard ugly, but I didn't say the
we
word
can
ugly.
Be really hard on ourselves for not being as competent as we'd like with this lineup.
Right, and I kind of had answered a question about, like, why they had acne, you know, which, you know, they heard as I was calling them ugly. So I thought it was an interesting conversation, and I also was like, wow, you know, but that's so not something I would say. But, you know, they heard it. So, you know, their feelings were hurt. And I'm like, okay, got it. You know, not a lot I can do about that. But I think there's a real sensitivity with people now about how things are deploying or happening. And so part of the story is saying, okay, well, what did you hear? You know, and okay, so, you know, what was really? That's what they said, huh? And it, you know, and understanding it on a different level, that maybe what you're supposed to hear. When I was younger, my grandmother had bad hearing, and she would always get mad at people, but she couldn't hear a damn thing. And you'd say, "Well, Grandma, you can't hear anything. I can hear perfectly well." But then, you know, she's deaf as a post, but she heard what she heard, and she would get a burn on about it. And it would be like, well, "What do you think they said?" You know, and very often it wasn't anything what they had said, but she heard it. And so I think Mercury, Saturn, we're all hearing harshness.
Yeah.
You know, we're hearing harshness.
And that Mercury, Saturn, when I was growing up, I was, my dad was a professor, so we, and math professor, and so we hung out with a lot of professorial type people and graduate students. And as I got a little older, I started collecting all their birth information because I started studying astrology at 14 and seeing the charts of people that actually finished their dissertations.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed almost always the Mercury-Saturn aspect. It could be a conjunction. Once in a while it was trine, but it was usually the difficult aspects.
Mm-hmm.
The Mercury-Saturn square, the Mercury-Saturn conjunction, or the Mercury-Saturn opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, they were not great. These are, you know, math and science PhD candidates. And I've seen this combination in writers and artists. They weren't light social conversationalists.
Mm-hmm.
They were really deep thinkers.
Right.
So they were. It wasn't easy for them. And if they started to obsess on a relationship issue or, you know, a social justice question, they would obsess. It was a mental stick-to-itiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's being loaned to us now, mental stick-to-itiveness.
I like that.
And
that's
we have to decide
where
we want to put that mental stick-to-itiveness or we get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important to see what bone do we want to give our minds to chew on with this combination.
Right, because we're going to chew on something.
Last weekend there was an eclipse with this lineup. Now, a lot of people I'm hearing, whenever I see Saturn, I see work-related issues. I know three people who were not, one lost their job, but two or three were made redundant or given suspension or warned that they might be, you know, given fear of losing their job. They didn't lose their job, but they were given fear because their employers were suddenly getting anxious about money.
Right.
Now, I suggested to them that Mercury is retrograde, and if they made the decision with Mercury retrograde, it might be reversed, because
mm-hmm.
it often is.
Mm-hmm.
Or that might not come through the way they think it's going to come through, one way or the other. But and I'm hearing a lot of good pieces about work, too, but our minds are on our job,
right?
Our lack of it, our love of it, our resistance to it, the structure of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with Venus entering Capricorn, we're all going to be very serious about money until March, because that's how long she's in Cap. A long time. She got a long run there.
A long time, back and forth.
Back and forth.
It can really help us love our work and structure to our work.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, we'll really need to do work therapy. You know,
mm-hmm.
one, don't look too far ahead, one bit at a time.
Right. Step by step, inch by inch.
mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll come back to that often.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, how else did you two feel the eclipse that was? The experience.
Well, the eclipse brought things to a head. If there was any
mm-hmm.
kind of argument going on mm-hmm. or anything that needed to be decided,
mm-hmm.
it all came to a head for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was especially by this Sunday. but it was
yeah.
through all of last week. So a lot of things, you know, there's just a feeling of, all right, this has to be decided one way or another, and once it's decided, there's no going back. Of course, Mercury is retrograde, so that doesn't mean that's the way it'll turn out, but that, that was the feeling.
But a decision was
that's
made.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great Mercury retrograde and eclipse story. I have Saturn at 16 Scorpio on the cusp of my third house. Third house is, you know, all kinds of things about communication and early education and neighborhood, but it's also siblings. And the Saturn on the cusp of the third, there's been a my mother had great delay in having siblings for me. There were, and I have an adopted brother who was adopted older, and there were five pregnancies that didn't make it. I'm the only one that came that she kept. One of the very first child had been put up for adoption 10 years before she was born, while she was suffering from severe postpartum depression, 10 years before I was born. Not before she was born. That would have been real magic. And I have been looking for that brother for years and years and years. And we thought we found a lead on him a couple of weeks ago. I had written a letter through an intermediary because the state won't release information to me. They release it to someone who will ask for me. And on the eclipse, you know, within a few degrees of my Saturn on the cusp of my fifth, with Mercury retrograde, the brother got my letter, and we made contact, and it is my brother.
Wow, cool.
Now, he needs time to think about it before mm-hmm. he responds.
That's what he said.
Because he's in his 60s, and suddenly he has a family. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is to be expected. But it was a lovely case of Mercury retrograde connection, and when he got the letter, I could feel it. I could feel like my mother was not pushing me anymore to contact him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a wonderful example of eclipse. It's no going back for him. He now has information about his family
mm-hmm.
that he did not have before. And even if he chooses not to contact me because it's too much for him,
mm-hmm.
he can never forget the information that he was wanted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And all this other piece of, you know, it's been a real breakthrough for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, sometimes miracles can happen with Mercury retrograde and with eclipse. It's that energy shock that precipitates change,
mm-hmm.
but it's not necessarily negative change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just shifts things faster than we think.
So you heard from him or you heard from the intermediary?
No, he heard from me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He got my letter, and then he called the intermediary and asked a lot of questions and said, I need to think about this. Give me some time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a slow thinker. Sometimes it takes me a while. But he called me on, you know, he called the intermediary right as the eclipse was, you know, right on
wow.
the eclipse.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So it is him.
And mm-hmm.
Very cool. And how did he know it was him? Because, I mean, you had identified.
We traced down all the, they finally found the file that we, it was lost for so long they thought he was dead, but they found a missing file of his adoption in the next county owner over from where he was put up for adoption.
Wow. Very cool.
So,
very neat. So we're going to wait and find out how this turns out.
Yeah.
I like it.
And maybe I'll have news, but it's very exciting.
Yeah.
So we got two requests. We're gonna
try
to take some calls, but we also got two requests for information. Now, what was the one that you got, Anne?
I got one here from Louise, and she had a question. She'd been dealing, here's the email, I've been dealing with a difficult situation. We've been trying to get investigated for over 2 years. It involves mm-hmm. some very rich and powerful showbiz people who've committed disgraceful acts. They've exploited my intellectual property and correspondence obtained under false pretenses. I've gotten
and
very little cooperation from law enforcement. Tell me what I should do. So her birth information for Louise is January 5th, 1970. January 5, 1970 at 1400 in Manhattan, the Isle of Manhattan. And so that's Louise. So she wants to know about people stealing her intellectual property.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And...
and the time was 1400, which is 2 p.m.
So, Louise, and it's not, it's tricky, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at this? She's got Pluto sitting right on her Venus in the house of other people's money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I can see where that feels like a real misuse of power and a real misuse of intellectual property.
Right.
And her moon has just entered, her progressed moon has just entered Leo this week. So she's ready to get loud about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say there, she needs to not get too attached to the outcome, because it may not serve her.
Mm-hmm.
It may not. But if she can play with this and work this, she has some ways of handling this.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't waste too much time of her. It may be easier to cut bait.
Mm-hmm.
But while her progressed moon is in Leo in her third house, to tell her story, to be honest about it, to be open about it, but to really document her act so that she is not made to be the crazy one.
Mm-hmm.
That if she could, that to be open without melodramatic, firm and clear with, and use her Sagittarius moon, be open. But because Pluto is going to be conjuncting first her Venus and then her Sun in the eighth house of other people's resource, that could work two ways. It could mean that, yes, we see the power trip that's going on, but it could be a loss for the money of other people in her life rather than her, which would serve it, would work in her favor. If she can, I'm just afraid that she could get so obsessed on it that she ruins the present for herself.
Right, right.
So there's, if she can do a combination of get loud, get real, get vociferous, be open, but do it in such a way that it doesn't serve to shut her up. Do not play the crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
Be the sane one. And don't be attached so that to the point where it wastes your energy in the present.
Right.
Stay present. Enjoy the rest of your life. And I think that's what I see as being the most likely. I think there's a good chance that something can come back her way if she can document it clearly and if she doesn't waste her time on hyper-focusing on it.
Right. Mark, what do you see?
Well, yeah, that's the best strategy for her. And it is an ongoing thing. You know, the way she works her Jupiter and Saturn, just natally,
mm-hmm.
all her life, she's on, things go really, really well, or they're denied to her. There's kind of a
mm-hmm.
back and forth. And it can be a very frustrating thing, and can often make her feel that it's in the other people's hands, and that she can be denied from really what is hers, what she's earned, because of other people. And
mm-hmm,
what she has
mm-hmm.
to do is, again, find that balance within herself. And it's not an easy thing to do, but it is doable for her. And this is a time to just focus on, you know, what is meant to be, tell the story, be firm. And then, as Heather says, let go of actually the results, and you may have to spend a time having major case and then wait.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So accept that waiting period.
Yeah. I am noticing her progressed Sun changes into Pisces as of April 17th. I didn't read the whole letter, mm-hmm. but she said this has been going on. There's been stuff running for 14 years. So mm-hmm. whenever I hear 14, mm-hmm. you know, I'm always hearing Saturn. And also that's the
yep.
arc from her midheaven to her, from the midheaven to the progressed sun. So my feeling, I mean, I know it's hard, is I would, you know, she's got the Mars in Pisces ruling the 12th in the house of 11th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times the best revenge on these things is just to go do another, do something else. And with the progressed sun
right.
going into Pisces, that might be the solution because it's going to catch
mm-hmm.
up to stuff. You know, I'm looking in.
I get the feeling, though, that if she can, if she, that would be very hard for her to do until
mm-hmm.
her progressed sun goes into Pisces.
Which is in April, which isn't that far.
Right.
But
so if she can give yeah. it, you know, be loud between now and then cut bait and step forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's a very, you know, the moon in Leo's in the third, but she's also got Saturn in Gemini. So they've got
yeah.
whatever their deal is, they've got some kind of back and forth thing with it. And she's got Saturn in the 12th in the house of property, you know, so there's a,
mm-hmm.
there's a, you don't always, I mean, I hate saying, you know, sometimes there's, the story is part of a bigger story of
mm-hmm.
karma, you know, with how does this work. So the Mars ruling the 12th on the north node of fate, it's like, you know, go towards creation again, you know, not to hold on so much to the, what you've created and letting it go out in the world, because that's not always going to serve you, because you're deferred from doing your own work. And with the solar arc Saturn opposite her moon in Moon in Sag and Jupiter in Sag, that to me is, you know, that win-lose thing that Mark pointed out is right on that moon, and that's on the intellectual property and that's on the money from it. So she can be very
yeah.
frustrated, spend a lot of time and energy and still not have anything happen. So I would turn it over to...
The only thing that made me hopeful was the Pluto to the Venus in her eighth house.
Right, Pluto to the Venus in the eighth, and then
the other person loses money.
The other person loses money. But I think what might happen is if she's got the proof that she's got the intellectual properties for it, then when and if something is made,
mm-hmm.
she can go after it then. And that actually gets her money rather than them taking it now and nothing happening and her trying to get it back. Let them make it. And then go get it. I had a friend who had a lawsuit, and every time they tried to sell the thing, there was a lawsuit filed. So they eventually settled with the person to get them to go away, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
now you're going to sell it to MGM, then you're going to sell it to this one, then you're going to sell. Every time it was sold, it got a lawsuit attached. And their lawyer said, you need to pay them for them to leave you alone. So what with her, I would say wait until it gets sold, and then go after it. Because then it's been created. You've got the proof. You have it. You made it. You know, if it's purloined, you can – because law enforcement isn't going to enforce anything. They're going to say it's a civil matter. Go after them in the civil courts, because that kind of stuff is civil. It's not necessarily theft of – theft is hard to prove in this kind of situation. But if she's mm-hmm. got the proof, once something's made, that can actually be very effective. And I do agree with Pluto coming to the sun. That would be a time for her to get the credit for it. But Pluto on Venus is not getting credit for it and spending a lot of time working behind the scenes, trying to be seen and not being seen. So once Pluto gets to the sun, I would say go for it then.
Okay. I have another question. Another
writer.
Good luck. And then we have another writer. Maddie would like to know.
Maddie is her name?
Maddie. And who gives us great reviews and would like to say September 18th, 1964,
mm-hmm.
at 2:37 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
in San Francisco, California.
Okay.
Says, I have been trying to move forward with both relationship and a new career for the last year, but nothing sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Breakups and reconciliation stops and starts. Can you provide insight? And that's hers. She is also connecting to the person in her love life is April 1st, 1957. We don't have a time.
Okay.
And I see a lovely person here, a Virgo moon in Aquarius with a Capricorn rising, with Sun, Pluto, Uranus, Mercury in a line, in a Virgo lineup, and quite brilliant. And I think that she will be coming into her own, you know, and over the next, as Pluto begins to trine all of these places in her chart. Pluto is already trining her Mercury. In general with her chart, that Sun-Moon combination can have the feeling that things just won't work out. It's hard for them. There's something about that Sun in Virgo, Moon in Aquarius that does much better later in life and can sometimes have to fight depression or just belief, sort of they kind of daring the world to prove them wrong that it really isn't that bad when they're younger. A little sort of philosophic Weltschmerz.
They can
make it
what?
Hard. Weltschmerz, world weariness.
World weariness, cool. Good word. I like that. Weltschmerz, wow.
Isn't it great word? Weltschmerz.
Okay.
World weariness, yes. It's hard to make something happen that you, unless you believe it's possible. Not
right.
Even probable, possible. So what I would ask her to look at that and that why that got inlaid. You can see that the Sun had just gone over Pluto and Uranus when she was born.
Mm-hmm.
Mercury went over those right after she was born. So there's something about her family's imprint of can we live out our dreams that happened right then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's one of the people that was born the last time Uranus and Pluto were conjunct, right before the conjunction. So she may be finding that right now there's a lot of work for her to do. It may not be the work that she's trying to get paid for, and it may not be relationship work, but there's a lot that she's on call for.
Mm.
She has Venus and Mars in Leo. The longing to make it better is really strong. But I would ask her with Mercury.
The longing to make it better, yeah, that's a very good.
Make life, you know, to live life fully, whereas that Virgo lineup can go, it's no use. It's got a little bit of the Eeyore side.
Mm-hmm.
But her progressed moon in Sagittarius in the 12th is really doing some deep roto-rooting on her mind as Pluto also trines her Mercury and kind of noticing where she tends to trip herself up.
Right.
Or tends to bite off more than she can chew or in some way make it hard, not always support her path to success.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when her progressed moon gets out of her 12th house and moves into the first house in about 15 months, that there's a lot more progress happening for her. I don't think it's useless between now and then, but I think there's a lot more progress coming up.
Mark, what do you see?
Whenever I see Venus and Mars in a very different place than the Sun and the Moon,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if she's drawn to somebody who is not dispositionally suited for her. That, you know, they have tremendous fire contact, but he does have his moon in Taurus,
mm-hmm.
but may not really be comfortable walking together.
Mm-hmm.
We'd really have to take a look in more detail on her chart.
Right.
What do you see, Anne, quickly? I know we've only got a few minutes.
Yeah, left. The British lady is talking. I think mm-hmm. the whole thing with the Uranus, the person's Uranus on her Mars, is it's a really exciting relationship that's inviting her to expand her boundaries. And as an Aquarian, you know, he's stimulating that Aquarian, I mean, he's not Aquarian, but he's the Uranus trine, you know, aspects his Sun and his Venus.
Mm-hmm.
He's really highly stimulating. So I say, try it, go for it, have a good time. Don't worry about what's going to happen. And with his Jupiter on her Sun, there's a nice inherent generosity in the relationship. So I'm saying full steam ahead and have fun. Mark?
Yeah, I agree. And then actually, as that progressed moon crosses the ascendant, it'll kind of give her a more of a sense of where she's at personally.
Yeah.
And she'll sort out what becomes
highly competent woman. And finally, as we're closing, the three of us are going to be doing a workshop in February. Where can they get more information about that, Anne?
I'm going to post it on a website called Eventzilla and make it available link in our on our Access Astrology webpage, and also we'll each have it on our own individual websites.
Wonderful.
So watch for
this
it.
Is
It'll
Heather
be
signing
up in the next
from,
couple weeks, next couple days, rather.
From Minnesota, right. And you all, yes?
Yep, I'm flying out from New York, Upper East Side, Manhattan, I love Manhattan.
And
wonderful.
Mark Waltz on the West Side.
Yeah.
Great.
So, well, I'll see you. So save the weekend, the first weekend in February for the workshop. It'll be on advanced
we'll
on charts reading, chart reading. We'll hope to see
take
you there.
Care.
Okay, take care, everybody.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now.